God, we celebrate you this morning and we honor you, Lord God. Come on, awesome is your name. Come on, we couldn't even think of all the words to describe you, God. You're just out of this world. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing and who you are in our lives, God. We don't know where we'd be or what we'd do without you in our lives. So cover us this morning. Keep us in your amazing grace, God. Keep your spirit upon us in the name of Jesus. God, we do come, God, humbly. We do come boldly to your throne, knowing that this is a place where we find grace and obtain mercy. So we see you sitting on your throne as we worship at your feet. So move in a mighty way today, God. We thank you, God, that our gathering is never in vain. That God, as we call on the name of Jesus, you continue to draw us closer and closer to your glory. So do more today, God. Do mighty things in our midst today in the name of Jesus, God. We celebrate Pentecost Sunday today, God. We thank you for the evidence you've given us, God, knowing that we can call upon you and confound the enemy, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for the power invested in us, Lord God, this day and every day of our lives, God, that we will have the power to lay hands on the sick and they recover, that we will have the power, God, to tread upon serpents. God, that you would do more and more in our lives in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you. Strengthen what remains, God. Give us, oh God, what we need in this season and in this time, Lord God, that we too might continue to call upon the name of Jesus. You say, at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord God. So we bless you today, Lord God. We thank you, oh God, for the mantle you've given us, Lord God, as worshipers, God. We don't need rocks crying out for us, God, for we will worship you, God, and honor you, God, as the living Savior. So we bless your holy name, God. Move in our midst today, God. We thank you for the anointing that destroys yokes. We thank you, oh God, for the mighty move of your spirit. God, liberates us, God. You said, who the Son of Man who has set free is free indeed, God. So we thank you, God, for the freedom. We thank you for the liberty, God. We thank you for the power that persuades men, God, to be children of the living God. So, God, we thank you. Crown us in this time. We move by your Spirit, Lord God. We want nothing else. We want nothing less. And we want nothing more than your Spirit to move mightily in our midst. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you this morning. We thank you for choosing to be with us this morning as we worship the Lord. Just a powerful time every time we get together, be a few of us, but we lift the name of Jesus, and we lift that name. He draws us, and my heart is drawn to the Lord this morning as I celebrate him this morning and what he's doing. This is Pentecost Sunday. We've been waiting on this Sunday to celebrate God and the power that God released to the church. We need that power. We need to also make sure we don't forget that God does this every day in our lives. But this is the day we set aside on this special Sunday, as Pentecost Sunday, to talk about the revelation for the church, to talk about the power that was given to the church, that we too would speak with tongues and that we would utter a new voice and prophesy in his name. That's what the spirit of Pentecost is. And we are a Pentecostal church. Acts chapter 2, church birthed by the Spirit of God. And as we live birthed with that Spirit, as we live knowing that God has done something supernatural for us as the body of Christ, as the church of God, then it's important for us to commemorate that those days and that time so that this still becomes what God does in the church. Come on, some of you are new to Christian. Some of you are new to church. Some of you are just coming into the experience of knowing God in a better way. And this is a special way to know God in the power of his might. Not in yours, but in his might. That's why God released the power of the Spirit of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Because they were doing it in their own strength. And they needed. The scripture says Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the power that was going to be sent from on high. What was that power? That was the Holy Spirit. You know, the fiery tongues, cloven tongues that sat upon them. So they spoke with new tongues, and each one knew his own language. But God does supernatural things even in this day. See, tongues is not for tomorrow or yesterday. It's for now. It is the power that God uses in the church to give us revelation for us to speak to mountains and they move. It's because of that spirit that God gives us through the power of the tongue. And Pentecost Sunday is just a baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit came upon them and he comes upon us each and every day. And we'll know it. It's different than salvation. It's not like being saved or giving your life to the Lord Jesus. The power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit endows you with the spirit of the power to walk in a newness of life. And that's what we want. We want a newness of life, to be dedicated unto him and sanctified and consecrated unto him. And the way we do that is that God does it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, people get engaged by speaking in tongues. That's great. But the power comes of a changed life and of a sanctified life through the power of the Spirit. That's why we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. It's because of the power of a transformed life and the power to do it. Until I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I went through church in the motions. And I can tell you, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you do a lot of things religiously. You do a lot of things because it's the thing to do or you want to be right. But the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live right. And that's what we want. We want to live right for God and do what God has called us to do. And today, as I celebrate Pentecost Sunday, I really want to talk to us about the victorious life. Because so many times it's easy to get down on yourself. It's easy to feel defeated or feeling like things are not going your way or you don't have a chance to succeed and do things. But God has given us the clear-cut victory of the victorious life. And that's what we want to live. We want to live the victorious life in Christ Jesus. So today, if you have your Bibles, and you should, because we're in church, amen? And if you're tuning in today, I know you're hungry for the Word of God. And in Matthew chapter 16, that's where we are. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the way we win. Yep, that's the way we win. Come on, it's easy to be in the game. It's easy to be in the fight. It's easy to go through the motions. But everybody wants the victory, amen? Well, and I believe that's what we have gotten through the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid our sins. He redeemed us. And we have a clear-cut victory in Jesus' name. Amen? So look with me in your Bibles if you have them. I know you do. In Matthew chapter 16. And I want to look at verse 15 as we begin to start today. And then we're going to open in a word of prayer and get right into this message today. Because I believe God gives us a clear-cut way to win. And as we live our life, there's a way to win. Come on, we don't win just because we proclaim that or say that we are winners. We win because of how we live our lives. We win because of whose name we continue to live and live by. That's how we win. And today I want to talk to us in some length and some depth about the way we win. Because it's important to know, because we don't want to cheat to win. You want to be deceitful to win. You want to win because God has given us the victory to win. Amen. Come on, Jesus didn't come back and transform our lives because he deceived the devil. No, he came back because he brought justice to us. He justified us because Satan killed an innocent man, Jesus Christ. And through that, we'll be justified by faith. And that's how we gain access to this great victory. But as we look at the Word of God today, I believe it's going to give us some insight in the way that we win. Amen? Come on, Matthew chapter 16, if you have it, go with me there in Jesus' name. Let's look at verse 15 together. Amen, amen. He said to them, Jesus said to the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" That's a revelation question right there, because even Jesus wanted to know, what do you think about me? Well, sometimes you're around people and you never really know how they think about you until they talk bad about you. But Jesus wanted to know, it's a lot of rumors about me, it's a lot of people following me, but you are the closest people around me. Who do you say that I am? Come on, this is a great revelation. Verse 16, we have this from Simon Peter. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, who is in heaven." Amen. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Father, give us clear ears to hear your voice and to obey your word, God. We thank you that you've given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now consume us even now. Let our hearts be drawn nearer to you, God, like never before. Give us an understanding beyond our revelation, God, that we might walk in this wisdom that you've given us. And God, I thank you. Now move in a miraculous way through our hearts, God, for this word is sharp, it's living, and it will discern our thoughts and our intents. So move us aside, God, so that we might hear you clearly. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a revelation we get here. When Jesus is trying to find out from those who walk closely, he said, who do you say that I am? And through divine revelation, nobody wrote it in a textbook. Nobody gave him a scroll. Nobody said, here, Peter, this is what it is. Nobody gave Peter the insight but God himself. See, that's how we get revelation and divine revelation. Sometimes God just skips through all the adversity and all the schemes and schisms that are around us and goes right to our heart. And in this instance, the Holy Spirit spoke a revelatory word to Peter. When everybody else was saying, Jesus, well, they say you're Jeremiah, or they say you're Elijah, and some say you're this, and some say you're that. And sometimes people are still saying, some say. But what is your revelation? What has God said to you? What has been revealed to your life of who Jesus is? See, Jesus wanted to know this from his disciples because they were the closest ones to him. And if anybody knew him, surely the disciples, they would know him. And they would say all kinds of things about who he was and what they were known to be. But some would call him teacher, some would call him rabbi. But none of them said, like Peter said through this revelation, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I can tell you, this revelation even struck Jesus strange. Because it had not been revealed yet throughout the world and throughout his surroundings of who he was. And for Peter to get this divine revelation at this time, it was nothing but God. And many times we're waiting to read something or hear something or see something. And God's saying, we live by this revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on. Jesus was struck by this because he said, nobody knows this. I haven't been revealed yet. I haven't been crucified. I haven't been justified. I haven't been glorified. My assignment is not over. How could you know this? And the revelation came to Peter in such a way that Jesus took notice and said, how did you know that? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but it's been revealed to you by my Father. Come on, God got access into Peter's heart and gave him a divine revelation. See, sometimes we're waiting on something and waiting for the ship to come in. And let me tell you, sometimes we better go out and meet it. We better swim out to meet that ship. Come on, there comes a time in our life where we have to make a distinction in our life to know the revelation that God has given us. Come on, somebody may not give you a prophetic word. They may not speak over your life and give you something. But God himself can come and speak to you with the moment and in the twinkling of an eye and give you a divine revelation. Peter got that. And because he got this revelation, he said, this is for the church. He said, this revelation is how I'm going to build my church on the knowledge of Jesus Christ being the Son of the living God. We got a victory. And he promises us that victory. He says, and guess what? The gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against you. That's a guaranteed victory. Come on, that's a guaranteed victory. But let's also understand this. It's also a guaranteed fight. He said, this won't prevail. Don't mean it's not going to try. Don't mean you're not going to be stuck in a pandemic. Don't mean things not going to always work out or pan out in our lives. But the promise is it shall not prevail against you. It's not going to happen. Come on, we're going to win. It's a sure victory because of the revelation of who Jesus Christ in our life and that he saved me, he sanctified. I'm not saved by my works. I'm not saved because of where I go to church. I'm not saved because of my ethnic group or who I am or how I serve. I'm saved because of the revelation of what Jesus Christ has done for my life. He saved me. He sanctified me. He forgave me of all my sins. And because he's done that in my life, now I have a right to the tree of life. Not because of me, because of what he's done for me. It's a sure victory. Come on. He promised Peter, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Come on, that's a great victory. Come on, the revelation of who Christ is in our life is the building block of a life of victory. Let me tell you that. That's how we start. That's the base. That's the foundation of knowing how we live our lives in victory. It's because now I have this true foundation, the true cornerstone, that's Jesus the Christ in my life. Come on, we so underestimate how powerful this revelation is to us, although it is the key to our prevailing against the enemy. We need this. Come on, it's not what we do or how we've done it or who we've claimed to be. It is because of this revelation of who Jesus is and what he's done for my life that gives me a guaranteed victory. Amen? Come on, the gates of hell will not prevail. See, understand that Jesus says it will not prevail, meaning it will be a fight, but it won't win. We will prevail. Amen? We will prevail. See, when we walk in this divine revelation, we always win, guaranteed. Come on, I don't care what somebody said. I don't care if it looks like you're losing. I don't care if the odds have been against you. The guarantee is the gates of hell will not prevail. Come on, somebody need to say amen right there. No matter how many times I've fell down, I still get up. No matter how many times you've messed up, you still get it right. Come on, God says it's not going to prevail. Come on, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks to us about God's prevailing power. See, we have to understand his prevailing power is not a flesh and blood thing. It is a spiritual warfare that God helps us to win and get this victory. Amen? Come on, so we get to walk not in the power of our own strength, but in the power of his might. Come on, that's what makes Pentecost such a great time and celebration for every Pentecostal believer. It's because we understand that it's not by our might nor by our power, but it's by God's Spirit, says the Lord. Come on, that means God has adopted us to be children, heirs, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means we become more than conquerors. That means that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That means that I'm more than able to conquer and prevail against what the enemy's doing in my world. Amen? Come on, we need to be in agreement with that we are winners. We're not losers. We're not doubters. We're not skepticism. We are winners in Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, early this year, I'm telling you, when I was going through my physical challenges and things that I was going through in my life, and I had been diagnosed with kidney disease and things was coming at me this way and that way, and I'm going to tell you, I was literally in a fog in my life. Come on, day after day, I'm contemplating what's the next move, what's the next step, what's the next diagnosis, what's going on in my life that's out of my control. But what I realized, it was very much in God's control. Come on, I had been going to the emergency room, preaching on Wednesday night, leaving the church, going straight to the emergency room because I was in so much pain. Come on, going somewhere to research this and find out this and get this test done and find out what's going on. It was a dilemma. It was a shaky time, a season of understanding for me because I had never been approached or dealt with anything like this in my life. Come on, I was battling not only this diagnosis of a kidney disease, but I also was dealing with what I know now was a skin infection in my ankles. Come on, they had misdiagnosed me. I had been through two surgeries. They were trying to work on something that wasn't even a problem. And day after day, I'm dealing with the agony and the pain and the things that was going on associated with this disease and didn't even know what it was. Come on, so don't ever think that the doctor has the final say, because I'm going to tell you, many of them are just practicing medicine. They're practicing, and sometimes we departed the practice to get to a solution. So I'm going through this day after day, and the revelation is, God, I know you're with me, and the revelation is, God, I know you're for me, but man, this is more than I ever bargained for in my life. See, I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a strange place in your life or a difficult place in your life, and you're looking for all the right answers and you find none? Come on, I know God's word, and he says he's a very present help in a time of trouble. But when the trouble hits you, it gets you another revelation of who God is. Come on, I'm diagnosed with this kidney, and things are seem to be getting worse in my life. I'm going through this, and at the same time, I'm called to pastor this church. I'm called to family, to be a father to my family. And now I got grandchildren and things that are happening in my life, and I don't know what's going on. I was in a fog. Things was happening and life was passing me by. But I'm going to tell you, time waits for no one. Come on, the church was still meeting. People were still serving the Lord. Things are just going by. Kids are still growing up. Things are still happening in your life. But what's going on with me? And after all that, and things are going on, and I go to the doctor, and I get diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I'm in a different world. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. I'm going through this. I'm feeling this. But where are you, Lord? Come on, sometimes enough can seem to be enough. Come on, sometimes going through really means going through. Come on, I'm every day going through pain, literally almost on bed rest because I could barely walk because the pain was so severe in my ankles. And now on top of that, I need another chemotherapy or another therapy for this prostate. And I'm thinking, God, what more? And then I'm thinking, God, how long? Come on, it's easy to say, but when you got to walk through it, it's a difficult challenge. Come on, I can remember at least 3 days I couldn't sleep. I mean, literally up all night, contemplating, am I going to die? And when am I going to die? Is this unto death? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to the people around me? How could I see my mother or go through this or experience this? How could I see that? Come on, a lot of things go through your mind and a lot of things go through your heart when you're going through, because when you're dealing with it as part of who you are, then you have to look for answers. In 3 days, I'm up all night in the days in the fog saying, God, what's going on? What's happening? You made me these promises and this happening, and now this is happening in my life. Where are you, Lord? For many times we cry out to God, we try to figure out where God is, and the reality is God's been there all the time. Come on, I was at a crossroad of life. And I knew for the first time I was thinking more about leaving this world than living in it. That's when I remember one night the enemy came to me and said, give up. Quit. You're doing too much. Let your wife find a better life when you're gone. Let people go. I can remember the enemy coming to me and saying, it ain't worth it. You're fighting too much. Let it go. I can remember clear as day him trying to influence me to quit, to give up. He said, you can't overcome all these things. Come on, and I tell you, if we'd be honest with God, man, there's some times in our life we feel like, man, I just want to give up. But God has guaranteed us the victory. Don't know how it's going to come. Don't know when it's going to come. Come on, I'm not preaching. I'm not even going to church. I can barely walk and stand. I'm waiting on people to bring me food. I'm waiting on all other kind of things. I'm waiting. And I'm at the time figuring out, what's going on, God? I'm not used to being in this place. I'm not used to this happening in my life. How is this affecting me? Until one night I had to turn off the TV. I couldn't wake up. I'm worrying and flow every night. because she's concerned about me, because I'm concerned about what's going on, and she knows it's bothering me, she knows it's a weight on me. And every night I'm getting up, I'm up all night, up the next day, the same thing. And I can remember one night just turning off everything. Distraction, every noise, just getting it real still, getting it real quiet. And hearing the voice of God. This is just too much trauma. And I can remember as clear as day, God saying, no matter what happens, you win. And it blew me away. I was like, what do you mean? He said, no matter what happens, you win. If I heal you and you recover, you win. If you pass away and you come to be with glory with me, you win. It kind of blew me away because I'm like, God, you know my heart. And I don't want people to suffer. I don't want to go through this, and I don't want people to go through it in my midst. I don't believe it's my time. But God said, it doesn't matter. Either way, you win. And a peace came over me. Because many times you try to figure out how to live, not how to die. And we all want to live a prosperous, long life and honor God with our lives and finish our course as Paul did. But to hear him say, no matter what, I win. Come on, it brought me a peace. And it told me, no matter what happens, God is still with me and I'm going to get the victory. Come on, Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And my thinking and my thoughts began to change. Well, not that I didn't know the word, but it's one thing to know it, and it's another thing to be intimate with it. See, we know people, but you're not intimate with everybody. Some people are closer to you than others. Some situations get closer to you than others. And all that is you might know things on the outside, but when they become intimate to you, now you know the revelation on the inside. Come on, God help me know that. That no matter what weapon had been formed, no matter what season I may be in, no matter what I may be going through, I still win. Come on, it brought peace to me. And it began to change my mind. It began to change my thoughts. And to start talking to people about coming back and being involved and getting stronger than to talk about this woe is me. And look what I'm going through. And look what's happening to me. See, because sometimes we get caught on the other side of the victory sense. And we start living in a defeat camp. See, and God doesn't want us to live there. He wants us to live on the victorious side, knowing that him who called us is faithful, and he will do it in our lives. Come on, it changed my mind. Proverbs 23:7, it changed my heart. And I began to think different and thank God in a different way. Come on, if we understand and believe the word of God for our life, we are victorious. Come on, there's no doubt about it. It's no sidebar. It's not no what ifs. It's not no contingent plan. God says we are victorious. Come on, no matter what it looks like or even what the situation feels like, in Christ Jesus, we have the victory. Amen? Come on, and we can prevail over difficulties in our life. Come on, there are ways and things that God does to help us to live victorious in our life with Christ. Come on, three things I want you to write these down that affect us and how it should affect us as we live victorious in Christ. Come on, it's three ways. Number one is how we think. Proverbs 23:7. Come on, if we begin to think different, then things will become to look different in our lives. Sometimes we make problems bigger than who our God is. But David said it like this, oh, magnify the Lord with me. What is he saying? Make God bigger. Come on, when are we going to begin to start make God bigger in our lives? Come on, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. What are we doing? We're making God bigger. Come on, sometimes we allow our situations and circumstances become bigger than who God is in our life. When is God going to become bigger? Come on, one of my favorite songs now is that God's going to do something big in our life. That's all the song says. It's going to be big. That's who God is. He's big. He's big enough to give us the victory. He's bigger than our circumstances. He's bigger than the challenges that come our way. He's bigger than that. But as a man thinks, so is he. Come on, if you think you're defeated, if you think this is overwhelming, if you think this is too much, then guess what it is? It's too much. It's overwhelming. But if you know God is greater than your circumstances, then guess what? This is a light affliction. This is a small task. This is a trivial in our lives. Come on, that's why we make God bigger. Come on, it's about our thinking. Because if we don't think right, then if we think like we're losing, then we're losing. But if we think that we're winners in Christ, which we are, then guess what? We're winning. Come on, it's how we think. Secondly, it's how we respond or react. Come on, how we respond and how we react to certain situations in our life tells a lot about who we believe in our life. Come on, some people get laid off or they get furloughed or things happen in their life. Come on, if you don't know who God is and know that you have victory in life in him, then guess what? It's a death sentence to you. But if you know who God is, somebody just gave you a pink slip, they just gave you a promotion to your next place in him. Come on, we just got to understand that. It's how we react and how do we respond to the things that are outside of us. See, it's not what's outside of us that changes or reacts. It's what happens on the inside of us. Come on, because if I can respond or react the right way by faith or honoring or trusting who God is in my life, then guess what? Things are going to be different for you. Why? You responded the right way. Come on, reminder of Elijah with his second encounter with his family. And she was not a widow, but she had no children. She was barren. And she began to have a child, a man-child, that was promised to her by Elisha. And Elisha promised her, you're going to have this man-child. And she was celebrating him, and the child was born. And Elisha went about his way, and she went about her way with the child in hand. And as the child grew, one day he was out working with his dad, and he got sick. So much so that he came home, his head was hurting so bad, he went in the house and he died. And the mom, she was distraught. She was messed up. She was messed up. She's like, why'd you promise to give me a child and bring me all this pain and the child's died? So she said, I'm going to get to the man of God. And she went to find Elisha and she get to the people that were with him and they ask her, is all well? And she says, all is well. Now, literally, get this, the child is home dead, and they're asking her a question, is everything all right with you? Come on, the average person was like, no, it's not good, everything's messed up. But all she said was, all is well. Come on, she gets to Elisha, is everything okay? And she says the same thing, all is well, let me tell you, that's a declaration of victory. That's a declaration of faith. Because in reality, like people want to stay in more than they want to stay in spirit realm, this boy's dead. And the reality is, there really seems no hope for him. But in the faith world, in the unseen world, in the belief world of Jesus and who he is, then guess what? She don't speak it. Come on, she don't speak it. She don't lose it. She don't lose the victory because as soon as she had lost the victory, she would have gave up hope and it would have been all over. But because she stood in faith in every encounter and everyone she dealt with, even her husband, she said, all is well. See, when we can get that kind of declaration and have that kind of response or reaction when all hell is breaking loose around us and things seem to be bottoming out in our life, but yet we can still say, all is well. Come on, that takes us to another level of victory in Jesus, another level of revelation of who God is in our life. She stood in faith. And as Elisha came in and found out the boy's not there, he's not alive. And he lays on the boy three times, the scripture says, and the boy comes back to life. He comes back to life. Why? Divine revelation in the power that existed in the life of Elisha, the man of God. But her revelation, her response was the key. That was the pivotal part and the key to her seeing this miracle performed in her life. Let me tell you, church, sometimes we close the door on our own miracles. Well, maybe it's something in life that we've seen, and it's some things are not working out right, and we're walking by sight and not by faith. Well, sometimes we close the door on our own miracles, on our own things that God wants to do in our life, but we don't have the faith for it. Come on, where do we stand in victory? How do we stand in victory in the things of God? I'm going to tell you. It's how we respond or how we react. Come on, firstly, it's how we think. Secondly, how we respond or how we react. And lastly, how we serve. Woo! That is the most powerful revelation. How we serve. Come on, James says it like this in James chapter 2. He says, faith without works is dead. Come on, and faith with no works is dead. Come on, faith is the Siamese twin of works. They go hand in hand. Come on, James says, he says, I believe, therefore I do. They work together. See, we get our victory because not only because of what we think and how we react, but how we serve. Come on, that's what God says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come on, not with sadness, not with regret, not without enthusiasm. Serve the Lord with gladness. I'm so glad to serve the Lord. In every way I can and however I can, I'm glad to serve the Lord. Why? Because it could have been another way. See, that's when our faith gets the victory. Because it's not about where I've been or what I'm going through or the situations that I find myself in. It's because Jesus has got me the victory. Amen. Come on, Romans chapter 6 tells us about the place of prevailing in God and whom we serve. He says, no man can serve two masters in Matthew chapter 6. But in Romans chapter 6, he says that we're clean to which one we want to serve. Under sin and unrighteousness, or we become slaves of righteousness, serving unto the Spirit. So we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. Come on, look what God says. He says, he tells us to yield ourselves, Romans chapter 6, yield ourselves to God. Being alive from the dead. That means I was dead to my sins, but now I have become alive to God. Come on, that's how we get victory, church. That's how we live in the lane that says victory lane. That's how we express ourselves to God, is because we have the victory through Jesus Christ. Come on, we can only find a victorious life in our new life in Christ Jesus, where old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new in Jesus. Come on, just like God's mercies are new every morning, so is life in Him. It's new. Come on, that's why when you're a believer and you're a Christian, things become new to you. Come on, I can remember getting saved and coming into the church and experiencing God in a new way. See, the things that was dead in my life, I thought was dead. But now I believe and see how God brought new things. Come on, my life was where it was. It wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't doing anything. And I wasn't thinking, expecting anything. I was just going through the motions of life, like many people are. But then God gave me a new hope and an understanding of what life is all about. Come on, it ain't about a fancy car. It's not about a big house. It's not about how elegant we can make ourselves look. It is about living a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Come on, I can tell you how many people live defeated and feel like the odds have been always against them, who need to understand this revelation of who Christ is in their life. Come on, only the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy from us. Come on, Jesus promises that he's come, that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Come on, we've got to experience life in a different way because we have the victory. Come on, one more scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just trying to prepare ourselves as we begin to start our services on next week. We'll be here live and in person. And we're trying to get a count of how many people will be here, because we're only going to do one service next week. We're going to have an icebreaker service. And we'll be here. If you can come, we'd like to have you. I know it's a smaller gathering, and we're not expecting everybody to rush out and be here. We're trying to figure things out, too. We like to bring our grandchildren, and we're trying to figure out the exposure on that, and can we do that? I mean, it's a lot of things and questions in our minds that we have to work through. But the reality is we got to start somewhere, and we got to start someplace. So we're doing all we can do, the things that we can do to have the service. But we're just encouraging everyone. We're still going to do the online. We'll be coming to you. We'll be bringing it on the website, and so that you can view it as well. And just making sure that everybody stays plugged into the church. This is not going. This season too shall pass. We just don't know when. So we're just going to work and live with God and do it as He says do it, and believe that He'll bring the best out for us and the church. Amen. Come on, 1 Corinthians. Let me get to the word. I don't want to forget that for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to get this in our spirits, so as we leave this place, we don't forget this word. Amen. Come on, look at verse 51 with me if you have it. Let's start at 50. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Can't do it. "Nor does corruption," hear this, church, "nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible." Hear that, church. "And we shall be changed. For this corruptible," this flesh we are, "must put on incorruption, the glorified body. And this mortal must put on immortality." Well, we're going to have a new body. So when this corruption has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written," hear this, church, "death is swallowed up in victory." That's the only way we win. And then he goes on to say, verse 55, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God." Somebody thank Him right now. Woo! "Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Come on, I don't know about you, but God has given me the victory through Jesus. "So therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Wow. Woo, that's a powerful word. Where's your victory? Come on, I know mine is in Jesus. And I can tell you, church, yours is too. So as we close out today, I invite you, come on, surrender your heart to the Lord if you haven't done that. Come on, be ready when He comes, when He calls your name. Live in victory, not in defeat. Not in skepticism of who God is in your life. For God wants to do amazing things in and through our lives. But we got to believe Him for the victory. Come on, He's working a far more exceeding abundant joy in our life, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're there today and you're watching this and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, ask Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Come on, I pray even now that you would invite Him into your heart. Come on, surrender your will. Come on, one of the components of the power of the victory that we have, He says, "Whatsoever things you bind will be bound, and whatsoever things you loose will be loose." He gave us the keys of the kingdom. Come on, what is He saying? Things that have been locked out of your life before, things that have been trapped in your life before, now can become loose. Come on, things that have invaded your life and caused you to be broken and miserable places in your life can now be bound. Come on, God can do that. He's given us the victory to do that. It can be bound and it can be loosed in our life. That's the keys of the kingdom. So if God does this for your life, come on, make this prayer your prayer. Invite him into your heart. Surrender your will to his will and watch God do something amazing that you've never seen or thought before. He'll do it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We honor you. I ask your blessings be upon those who are viewing and listening to the word of God today. That God, that you would illuminate this word, that it would find their place in their hearts, God, that they might not sin against you. That God, that you would capture them in a different place, God, that they would serve you with gladness. Come on, not with restraints or constraints in their life, but with gladness. I'm so glad to serve the Lord. So as you do this, God, we thank you for moving in a mighty way in their lives as they commit to you. Make this prayer your prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. Cause me to do no harm and enlarge my territory in the name of Jesus, that I might serve you with gladness all the days of my life. Come on, if you made that prayer and committed that prayer and asked God to forgive you for your sins and now believe him without a shadow of a doubt that he died for you and in 3 days he rose again with all power, then this power too, this resurrection power, the truth of God's word, will be working in you. So I pray that God continue to do something in your lives if you hear the word of God, and that you would go out and find a church home, hopefully ours, and come in and be discipled. We're discipling people. God has called us, go out and make disciples. Well, it's great that you gave your heart to the Lord, and you might find yourself in a different place, but now is the time to get into discipleship. Become who God has called you to be and follow him with all your heart. So we'll see you live and in person, many of you, on next Sunday. We're going to have one service at 11 o'clock. God willing, we can do something outside to have more people. But if not, the weather's not conducive, we'll have it here inside, and it'll be a limited number of people. So we'll be calling around this week, we'll be touching in places on Bible study to see how many people we'll be attending so we can see when we can start the two services so we have adequate spacing, safe distancing, and do some of the things that we want to do here in the sanctuary for protection, the shield and different things so that we're not having direct contact and for our safety. And we'll do this in Jesus' name. And so I'll see you on Wednesday night. God bless you. The Lord keep you. Heaven shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.